Welcome to episode 4 of the X-Men Task Podcast, where we watch every single episode of the X-Men animated series. My name is Willie.
And I'm Sonia.
And this episode is called Deadly Reunions. But before we delve into it, I just want to mention some brief things, such as your ability to seek us out on Facebook and talk to us. Ask us questions, join our fan community, just look for X-Men Task Podcast. Also, another reminder to subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, rate us 5 stars so we can keep growing our little show. You can also follow me on Twitter, at Willie Simpson. Sonia, you're not really on Twitter anymore, are you?
No, I don't really tweet.
Okay, but follow me. I'll be posting some regular updates on there as well. Anyway, this episode, Deadly Reunions.
Right, so this is the second part of another two-parter episode. We had the to be continued at the last one, and in episode 3, the last one we watched and talked about, we met Magneto for the first time, and our heroes already foiled a plot he had to send nuclear missiles into some city and cause massive devastation. And so we saw a little plot resolve itself there.
Right, and now Magneto sort of downgrades his plan from nuking cities to just destroying a chemical plant.
Right. Well, we see him in this episode in his, you know, villain's lair, and we really get an insight into his planning that he doesn't have a master plan. He says something like, any location is as good as any other as long as there's humans there,
right,
and lots of them to destroy.
And for some reason he wants to draw out Professor X, and he's just more interested in taunting him at this point for some reason.
Well, not for some reason. They have a really long history together.
They do, but is he there to taunt him or to recruit him to his side? It's kind of like Magneto's motivation is a little mysterious in this episode.
Well, I think in the last episode we learned that Magneto didn't really know where Professor X was or if he was alive or what he was up to.
Right.
And he's kind of surprised to see what he's up to with all, you know, basically he started the X-Men. He's got this troop of like do-gooders.
Right. He's intrigued by the X-Men.
And he's, I think, disappointed in the last episode that he doesn't actually come face-to-face with Charles.
Right.
It's anticlimactic for him.
It's kind of weird because, it really actually spells out what's going on in the X-Men universe. Magneto has got his war, which he's very open about. Professor X created the X-Men in many ways to counter Magneto. And it seems like Magneto's sort of surprised that Professor X even took that action.
Yeah. Well,
it's kind of cool.
That's the whole point of like your internal rhetoric, right? Everyone always thinks they're right, pretty much. So Magneto's like, obviously the solution is to kill all the humans, and Professor X is obviously the solution is to make a peaceful society alongside the humans.
Yeah, but he's conceded to Magneto that the need for violence is necessary to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the X-Men and their militaristic ways.
Yeah.
The episode opens Sabretooth is still in captivity at the X-Mansion, much to Wolverine's chagrin.
In, like, a weird hovering chair with his arms
shackled to computer-like shackles.
But he's, like, the centerpiece of this room, which is so strange. He's up on this, pedestal, basically.
He's in another floating chair. Professor X really has floating chair technology, like, down pat. Maybe that's the source of his mysterious fortune. He has a bunch of patents on hover chairs.
I mean, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool, but
anyway, it's like a really strange place for Sabretooth to be. And he's just sitting in this chair kind of snarling. He's not like he's like an intelligent being, even though he's evil. But like everyone's kind of talking around him, and it takes him a little bit before he...
Well, he's a human being, but he's filled with super overloaded mutant animal, like, emotions and rages and stuff.
Right.
As Professor X notes in his psychedelic mental therapy session he provides for Sabretooth.
Right.
Which is, really one of the actually great touchstones of this show is portraying these trips into the mental, astral...
The psyche of all the
psyche of
people.
Right, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So Sabretooth's mind... He imagines himself in a zoo prison cell where he's being taunted by humans throwing things at him who turn into horrible beasts.
Right. There's that one line that Professor X delivers about, like, why can't you let your demons go as the people turn into literal demons? There's nothing subtle about that.
Yeah, and then there's a really weird moment where Professor X merges his body with Sabretooth, and their physical features merge as well to create this new Professor X Sabretooth action figure that I wonder if you can buy. This bald guy with Sabretooth's blonde mutton chops.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy.
Yeah, and Professor X's lab coat. It makes no sense. So this is like some insight into what a therapy session would be like with Professor X. It's pretty intense.
Yeah, it's pretty unsettling, actually.
And there's a moment where Sabretooth escapes this new creepy hybrid and hides into a concrete box that Professor X can't penetrate.
Right.
It's floating in like a weird
sea of spikes.
A sea of spikes, yeah, and this weird like orange purple background.
Right. But I thought Professor X was supposed to be so super powerful that it's surprising to me that he's not able to penetrate this psychic box that Sabretooth puts up. You know, who would have thought that Sabretooth could actually hide anything from Professor X.
And spoilers, jump to the end of this episode. Sabretooth admits to Jubilee that he's just been faking his mental anguish that Professor X is trying to cure. And so congratulations, Professor X, you got outwitted by Sabretooth, who was just simply lying to you. Yeah. And what good are your psychic powers if you can't breach Sabretooth's fibbing.
Right. In a momentous plot exposition, he reveals that. But I don't think it's so much that he doesn't have any of these, emotional issues. I think the emotional issues that Professor X is looking at in that scene are mm-hmm. real.
Yeah.
I think the only thing really is that Sabretooth has the concrete block inside his mind. And the secret that's inside there is that he's, penetrated the mansion on purpose.
To get reconnaissance for Magneto and to destroy parts of the mansion, maybe.
Right. So really he only kept one secret.
Yeah, but it's such a really stupid... I mean, he's just a dumb brute. And the fact that he could keep that secret from a man with enormous mental powers...
Yes.
...is kind of an inconsistency in the show. But that's fine. It's pretty funny.
More impressive.
Right.
One other thing with Sabretooth is, what's up with his eyes? He doesn't have pupils or irises. It's just blank white in there.
We don't... I think they're just blank white eyes, but he also does have the crown thing over his forehead that goes over his eyebrows and underneath his eyeballs.
Like a mask is what you're trying
to
say?
Like a mask. So maybe... yes, like a mask. So maybe it's a covering like Batman. Over his eyeballs.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, but maybe it's a standard Batman eyeball covering.
Yeah, that could be. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Professor X hits a wall with Sabretooth when it comes to this therapy stuff. Turns out being extremely psychic does not make you a great therapist.
Which is evidenced by he hasn't even been that good of a therapist to Wolverine either.
No, Wolverine certainly has severe anger management issues.
Yeah,
still.
Wolverine still has a lot of troubling issues. But then Professor X kind of threatens Wolverine in a weird way. He says, Wolverine, I'm going to need you to assist me in the next stage of Sabretooth's therapy. To which Wolverine is extremely
indignant. It's not a threat. It's just he's trying to get him involved and it's not a good idea. Which makes him even a worse therapist to both of them because they're old enemies. They're pissed at each other. Yeah. This is not...
And this is the moment where Wolverine finally admits that, listen, Sabretooth is a murderer. He murdered my friends. This guy is pretty irredeemable. Why are you trying to save him?
Right. We finally get a little bit of plot exposition on that front.
And still that's kind of ignored.
Yeah.
And then the alarms go off again and they have to confront Magneto again. Though this time without Wolverine, because he's had enough with this shit.
Well, because he heard that he has to participate in Sabretooth's therapy sessions, and he's like, fuck this, I'm out of this.
Yes. He basically says, fuck this, I'm out of here. And, you know, Professor X leaves Jubilee behind to guard Sabretooth, which is another bad management choice. So Magneto is at some random chemical plant causing mayhem and destruction.
Blowing up enormous vats of green ooze.
Yeah, green goo that, you know, seems like the same green ooze that might have transformed the Joker in a different universe.
Right.
In the comic book world, there's a lot of dangerous green goo out there.
Yeah.
Of unknown properties.
Just like real life.
We can only hope. So Magneto is again confronted by the X-Men, who fly to the factory.
And they think they're going to foil Magneto, but this time they do not. Cyclops gets knocked out by some green gas. There's, like, laser beams flying everywhere. Storm, it turns out her electricity is not a good weapon against Magneto because he just absorbs all her lightning bolts and uses the power.
Don't you understand that magnetism and electricity are related?
The more you know.
Anyway. Still doesn't maybe explain how, even if he has magnetic powers, how he could just take a lightning bolt to the face.
Right, but for some reason he can, and it's no problem. So then he starts using his powers, and he is shooting everywhere, and this wall starts collapsing on top of Storm. Rogue rushes in to try to hold it up as long as she can, but it just, like, starts crumbling on top of the two of them.
Right.
And
Storm panics, and we see a little insight into her past, where she's a child, and she was in some kind of exploding building as well. And so she freaks out. So she's got some kind of inner trauma she has to deal with that they're going to elucidate more in a future episode.
Right.
But they don't really say what that is yet.
Hopefully Professor X won't try to provide her too much therapy.
That's right, yeah. She should go out of network. Out of the X network. Yeah. Just pay the premium that's going to cost to get some other therapist.
Right, but
So she's buried. You know, that scene always stuck out to me as a kid because it looks like a lot of bricks are falling on her in that moment, and how could Storm survive all those bricks collapsing on her? But she does. And so now Rogue and Storm are now knocked out along with Cyclops. It looks like Magneto is victorious, but then that just draws out Professor X finally.
Well, he reveals that that's what he's trying to do. And
yes.
So Professor X comes out and he's like, all right, you're after me, like, here I am. And that's where the reunion face-off happens between the two of them.
Right, but before that moment, it goes to commercial, and then we see Rogue burst out of the bricks and sort of, you know, Storm's okay, she's knocked out, and Cyclops is passed out. And it's kind of weird that this is all happening supposedly right where Magneto and Professor X are now talking.
Right, because in the scene with the X-Men, you don't see Magneto and Professor X. And then when they cut to Professor X and Magneto talking, you don't see the X-Men.
Yeah, but it seems like they're still all in the same
place.
They're,
like, in the same room because the background is exactly the same.
Yeah, so there's a little, like, some narrative trickery going on.
Yeah.
But this is another instance where a character is performing a job they are way unqualified for.
How's that?
Because Rogue is giving CPR to Cyclops, and the last person you want giving CPR to you is someone who could literally suck out your life force and kill you.
Which, like, doesn't happen right away, actually, because she gives him, like, two or three rounds of CPR, and as I'm watching, I'm like, panicking a little bit because I'm like, wait, she can't touch somebody's skin.
Well, he's already passed out.
Right, yeah, so you don't see, like, the effects on him.
Yeah.
But, like, Rogue herself doesn't start shooting laser beams out of her eyes until, like, a couple of beats later, you know?
Yeah, and it's pretty awesome, actually, when she shoots the lasers out of her eyes. You're really seeing for the first time her absorbing someone else's power. And also you get, like, this great, like, wide shot of the factory as Rogue's laser beams, like, cut through the factory wall in this insane way, which really shows you how powerful Cyclops is.
Right. That's, like, a reminder, I think, for all of us how powerful he is. Because she's, like, staggering around from, like, I don't know, the backlash or something of just not being able to control the lasers that well.
Yeah, and so now the X-Men are all sort of knocked out of commission because Rogue's blind because she has to shut her eyes to keep Cyclops' power from going off.
Right, so she's doing her best. She's stumbling around and saving her friends, but then the action shifts over to Professor X and Magneto, and it's up to Professor X
to stop Magneto.
Right, and, like, he gets de-chaired really quick by Magneto.
Yeah.
So, but, like, he's such a badass that he doesn't even, like, I don't know, he doesn't give up. He's, like, crawling along the floor on his forearms.
He's FDR, the action hero. And they have, like, another great political discussion in the midst of all this flames and fire where Professor X just says, like, look, this is the result of your actions, all this horror. You think violence is a solution to all the world's problems and all of mutants' problems. And just look around you. It's not. And Magneto thinks he's a naive fool. And it's, like, again, like, that great philosophical divide that separates them.
And Magneto's ready to kill him on the spot. He, like...
Well, no. First he offers him a chance to join him.
Right, okay. But then when he refuses...
Yes, then he...
He gets ready to kill him.
Yeah.
And then...
Professor X, like, enough. I'm too strong for you.
Right. So Professor X then uses his mental projections and dredges up, like, the most painful memories in Magneto's past.
Yeah, basically the day when Magneto's family was being killed by the Nazis. And again, you know, in this cartoon, it's not really the Nazis. It's like a faceless occupying force.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in my mind, it is the Nazis, especially as evidenced by Magneto's, like, 1930s Depression era cap he wears as a child,
mm-hmm.
and calling out for his mama and papa. You know, that's just classic signifiers of oppressed people at the time of the Holocaust.
Yeah. So, okay. So it's, to me though, it's like, I think that Professor X's intention in bringing that flashback to Magneto's mind is the parallel between mm-hmm. the destruction that's all around them and the
right.
destruction of that time in his childhood.
He's reminding Magneto that how devastating violence is to people.
But I don't know if that really hits home for Magneto. I think it's just raw pain for him to have to live through that experience mind over again.
He's in total denial about it.
So he, like, has to blast a hole through the wall and escape because he just can't
again,
stand the suffering.
Yeah,
the
again,
moment.
Professor X is a bad therapist. I mean, granted, this time he's performing therapy in a burning factory of dangerous chemicals, but still, maybe there could have been another way to calm Magneto down and show him, you know, a more peaceful solution to his violent tendencies.
Maybe, but Magneto's just kind of a crazed lunatic at this point, so maybe not. Also.
Yeah, I think Professor X is playing the long game. He just needs to remind Magneto of how terrible his violent youth was,
mm-hmm.
and to give him another glimpse of that before he continues on his ridiculous crusade.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and, you know, and just one little detail that's kind of funny to us that we both were talking about is Magneto's real name in the show mm-hmm. is Magnus.
Right, as opposed to other... movies and...
Well, yeah, in the movies, he's Eric Lenscher.
Right.
And then I did some research on this. In the comics, he had both the names of Magnus and Eric Lenscher. And he had some other names, too. It doesn't matter. Like, they're all his names. But Magnus is especially funny, right?
Right. Like, too much of a coincidence.
Yeah.
His parents named him Magnus, and then he turned out to be Magneto.
Yeah, the master of magnetism.
And chess.
Right, because there's this guy, the current world chess champion,
right.
is named Magnus.
Yeah.
And Professor X and Magneto like to play chess. Well, at least in the movies they do. And, you know, I was actually watching...
But yeah, shout out to Magnus Carlsen.
Yes, shout out to Magnus Carlsen. Don't become a lunatic, as many chess masters are liable to do.
Sorry, what were you saying?
I don't know. This is a completely irreverent detail, but I was watching X-Men Apocalypse this morning. You weren't around.
Mm-hmm.
And the scene where the Polish guards confront Magneto and his family in the woods, and they call him Magneto,
mm-hmm.
which I guess is the Polish
pronunciation of Magneto.
Yeah, and that just really – I found that really, like, bizarrely odd and charming. And I'm just going to call him Magneto from now. Magneto. This is something very, it's weird to combine like an old world language like Polish with ridiculous science fiction concepts.
Which ironically makes it closer to the word magnet. So if you want to really take it literally and to the extreme, you could just start calling him Magneto.
Magneto. I wonder how many kids in the 60s when they first read the comics and nobody's telling them how to pronounce his name called him Magneto.
Like the breakfast cereal.
Breakfast cereal? What?
Because the O. Never mind. I'm taking a turn here.
Yes, we've taken a really weird turn. And then, so the X-Men, you know, Professor X vanquishes Magneto for the moment. Magneto. And he escapes with Rogue, who psychically provides her vision as they fly to the Blackbird, him in his flying chair, her floating around with Storm and Cyclops. And back at the X-Mansion...
Wait, I'll just interject there because that's an awesome scene, just like little snippet, mm-hmm. when he gets his chair back because like he had crawled on his elbow, right? And then he like beams it over to him and the chair comes like flying in, rotating and flipping and swirling over to
him. That's what I said. You need the yellow chair in the movie, and it was a big oversight.
Yeah.
And also, it's another great scene where Professor X is communicating with Rogue, who's blind. And he projects his giant bald head in her eyes to communicate with her.
She has her eyes closed because she has Cyclops' power. Yeah.
Yeah, like Wizard of Oz style.
Yeah.
And if I ever get psychic powers, that's how I'm going to communicate with all my friends when I need them. I'm going to project an image of my floating head to them.
You have to,
like super large. Come to my house for pizza.
I was wondering if you're going to change your voice or if it's just you. Hey, guys.
It's like, are you in the bathroom right now?
Surprise.
Yeah. But back at the X-Mansion, Sabretooth's grand plan is revealed to Jubilee that he's been faking it the whole time, that a few mealy-mouthed words from Xavier is not going to change his overall lifestyle, that he's a big giant asshole.
Right.
And that he was sent on a mission from Magneto to destroy the X-Mansion and get information. So he tricks Jubilee into freeing him. And then we finally get our first big fight scene between Sabretooth and Wolverine.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, Wolverine's kind of stalking him in the shadows at first. Right before he's going to kill Jubilee, by the way.
Right. Well, he knows it's not going to happen right away because Sabretooth is on a long tangent about his... Well, not a tangent, but he's revealing his whole plot and, like, kind of patting himself on the back for being so smart, basically.
I mean,
he's struggling, you know.
He should pat himself on the back. He outwitted the great Professor X.
Right, okay.
It was a brilliant plan up until that moment.
But it's really funny because he's on this long expository speech, and, like, you just see Wolverine's little shadow of his, like, head hair.
He's like Batman.
Like, sneak up in the shadows for a second.
Yeah.
It's really good.
And then Wolverine lets out one of his most immortal lines, which, as a kid, was very exciting because it had shades of Home Alone. He says to Sabretooth, he calls him an egg-sucking piece of gutter trash. Wait, I don't get, in the early 90s, there was a lot of egg-sucking insults. That you are an egg sucker or something.
Suck an egg.
Right, go suck an egg. Like, what? I've never...
There's probably some kind of really vile history to that. I don't know what it is.
Well, I guess the idea is if you have an egg in your mouth, you know, you have to be really gentle. Otherwise, it'll collapse and it'll be gross.
Uh-huh.
Is that all there is to it?
I don't know.
I don't know either. So they fight. And at first, I thought we were going to get... Because I hadn't really remembered this fight. And I thought we were going to get a really tame, censored fight. And they don't really punch each other, obviously, because Wolverine has his claws out.
Right.
And
that's great, too, when you see the claws come out, because there's that big metallic sound effect. Shoo!
And
or
the,
whatever.
And the blue
and, like,
electricity.
He always has them, like, crossed at first when he pulls them out. So it looks like... I don't know. It's like this
like a
triple
X.
Like,
yeah, it's a triple X on both sides.
Fries of claws.
And let's just talk about how great Wolverine's claws are in the show. He every time he lets them out, it's not cheap. It's a huge dramatic moment, and he's
like the whole show pauses to let it happen.
Yeah, he is like just a volcano of rage, and he gets those claws to really express that rage.
Yeah,
and there's just something so great about them. It's just one of the things in life that makes me happy, kind of like Saturn's rings. It's just like a perfect thing in the universe. I can't think of many other analogies, but that. Just something bafflingly great and beautiful. are Wolverine's claws. So they fight, and like I said, I thought this was going to be like another wimpy fight where they just kind of wrestle around, which more or less they do. But I forgot, Sabretooth gets in like a huge slice on Wolverine's stomach.
Yeah.
And you see some red marks on his stomach, and mm-hmm. that's about as violent as the show gets in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, you know, that's enough to completely incapacitate Wolverine, that slash.
Right. And then the X-Men are all really worried about him. And
yeah, they wrap him up in bandages, and he's unconscious.
They take him to the infirmary. Yeah. I mean, he's a quick healer. It doesn't seem like they should be that concerned.
Right. But you would think that that kind of slash wouldn't be that big of a deal for him, but in my mind, how I justified it was, like, okay, Sabretooth really cut deep. Like, he sliced up some, like, intestines and
his major organs,
punctured his stomach. So that's the only way that makes sense. And if that's, you know, how I have to justify it, I think that's actually very satisfactory.
Maybe.
That all his guts were spilling out.
Which is not what it looks like. It looks like a red slice.
Well, maybe we just didn't see the full angle of it. You
maybe
know?
We're thinking too hard about it.
No. Oh, and I guess we kind of brushed over the fact of how Jubilee was the one who sort of saved the day. The X-Men arrive at home, and they still think that Wolverine is to blame for Sabretooth getting loose and that he attacks Sabretooth or something. But Jubilee comes to Wolverine's defense, and finally Wolverine gets some justification.
Right. She tells them, like, no, he was about to kill or destroy me, whatever she says. He was about to hurt me.
Yeah.
And Wolverine saved me.
And she's the one who blows Sabretooth through the wall with her fireworks.
Right.
And Sabretooth just sort of wimpily runs away into the forest of Westchester.
Wimpily, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, he just got... Yeah. Attacked by Jubilee, he could come back and fight the X-Men. Right. You know, Wolverine's down for the count at this point.
Finally, those fireworks came in handy.
I guess he just had enough. He's like, I just can't deal with these people anymore. I'll see you guys later. So,
which he does.
Yeah, he does see them later. So Wolverine's out for the count, but the day is more or less saved. Rogue gets turned back to normal. Cyclops gets his power back. And again, Magneto is left in the wind.
Right.
He's down, but he's not out yet either. And that's the gist of Deadly Reunions.
Yeah, I mean, not that deadly. All of our heroes and villains live to fight another day. But what do you think? Good episode?
I think it's a good episode. It's good when paired with the previous episode, Enter Magneto. It's a nice two-parter. I think the resolution of the Sabretooth arc is kind of weak.
Mm.
Like we said, for one, how much of a failure Professor X was in being his therapist and not seeing that Sabretooth was trying to fool him. And then Sabretooth, it just all ending with Sabretooth running away into the woods and nobody caring.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like, you know, what was the point of Sabretooth? I guess other than, he's there to reveal more of Wolverine's backstory.
Right.
And to draw out Wolverine's character a bit more. And then there's like some really nice action scenes when, you know, especially when Rogue gets Cyclops' power. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's always nice when Professor X and Magneto are in the same room, actually.
Yeah.
They're very powerful characters.
And they have a lot of history together as friends turned enemies.
Yeah.
That's a really complex relationship
that
I'm glad they get into.
Right. So this episode, if anything, it just draws more of the characters' backstories and personalities out a little more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing. And, you know, the show's off to a very good start still. I say 4 for 4.
Yeah.
In terms of
I'll
good
agree.
Episodes. Yes.
I'll agree.
So that's it for this episode. The next episode is Captive Hearts.
I like it already.
Yeah, it's this is definitely one of the weirder early episodes. There's going to be a lot of strange things to cover, namely weird, gross sewer mutants. but
hopefully that's not too much of a spoiler for everyone out there. We're looking forward to those sewer mutants. Well, I think that's about it for us.
Yes, so that's about it. Just a reminder, subscribe to us on iTunes. We're on Stitcher now. Find us on Facebook, Twitter. Tell all your friends. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.